7 months on each first Sunday, I'm going to be sharing with you the last sayings of Jesus on the cross. You know, they tell us that what a person says at the end of their lives is probably more important than anything they've said during their lives. The Battle of Chancellorsville was a major battle of the American Civil War. It was fought from April 30th to May 6th and was the fourth costliest land battle of the war, with over 30,500 men who were casualties. Among those casualties was Lieutenant General Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. At the end of the first day of the battle, Jackson and some of his aides were on horses and they were riding, surveying the lines. And on the way back, they caught some rebel sentries by surprise and they began to open fire on their own men. Three bullets hit Jackson. One of them shattered his left arm and it had to be amputated. Before long, pneumonia set in and Jackson began to fade. On May 10th, 1863, General Jackson died as he had wished to die on the Sabbath. And these were his last words: "Let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees." Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying. And during this time of his death, he utters seven sayings. This was the first one that he said: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So today, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Someone said, and I quote, that forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or revenge to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve or ask for it. Some people, their lives are still being impacted today because of their unwillingness to forgive something that happened to them years ago. So what hinders us from forgiving? What holds us back from letting go, from releasing those feelings of resentment or vengeance towards someone who harmed us years and years ago? First of all, I think sometimes we fail to forgive because the person who harmed us, the person who brought about the pain in our lives, never has repented and never has asked to be forgiven. We think we deserve that. We think that person should come to us and say, "I'm sorry for what I did. I was wrong. Please forgive me." But that person may never come and say that to us. That person may not even be aware of what they did to us. That person may be dead and buried. That person may not even think about what they did to you. You know, the book of Genesis tells us the story of two twin brothers, Jacob and his older brother Esau. Their births were separated by mere minutes, but they were totally different. Esau was built differently than his brother. Esau was a masculine, hairy guy. I mean, he would have been the, you know, first team All-American linebacker. He was a hunter. He liked to work and be outside. He liked to go out in the woods and sit in a deer stand. And he liked to do all those things. Jacob was a different man. Jacob was the quiet brother. He was meek. Jacob liked to hang around the house. Jacob enjoyed cooking. Jacob enjoyed growing, having a garden. Jacob enjoyed things that Esau didn't care about, and Esau enjoyed things that Jacob never even thought about enjoying. And of course, we know the story, how Jacob deceived his brother, how Jacob deceived his father, because Esau had something that Jacob wanted, and that was the firstborn inheritance. And after he had deceived his brother and deceived his father, Esau when he became aware of it, said, I'll kill Jacob. And of course, we know how Jacob had to flee and move away from home and lived a great portion of his life away from home. But in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob decides he's going to go back home, and he's just going to hope that his brother has forgotten those words. And in Genesis 33, Jacob is coming home, and they come and they say to him, Esau, your brother is coming, and he's brought an army of 400 men with him. And Jacob begins to fear the worst. Esau is going to kill me. He's going to kill my wives, my children, my servants. He's going to take everything from me. And before long, in the distance, they see a cloud of dust coming, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. And finally, Esau comes riding up with this 400 armed men, and he jumps off his horse, and he begins to run toward Jacob, his brother. And the Bible says in Genesis 33 that he fell on his brother, which simply means he grabbed his brother in his arms, and it says he wept. But yet the Bible never says that Esau said to Jacob, I'm sorry I said that. The Bible never says that Jacob looked at his brother and said, Esau, I want to tell you, I'm sorry I lied. I'm sorry I lied to our dad. I'm sorry I lied to you. I'm sorry I deceived. I'm sorry that I did those things to take from you what was rightfully yours. The Bible never records that either one of them ever spoke words of forgiveness. And yet, during the time that they were apart, something happened in their hearts where they said, it's not worth carrying this against my brother. You and I have got to, in being willing to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed us, we have to first of all release what we believe they owe us. They owe me an apology. They should stand before me and tell me they're sorry for what they did. I deserve that. No, you and I don't deserve that. And some people never forgive because they're waiting for something that may never happen. Some people never forgive because they believe the other person is not worthy of their forgiveness. So by my not forgiving them, it allows me to take the high ground as the martyr. I can tell people, you know, oh, they did so and so to me. I don't go to church because of what they did to me. I don't go to church because I was raised, you know, because this happened. I don't do this. I'll never forgive them. You won't, and they can recall it just as fresh as if it happened yesterday. You know, Acts chapter 7 tells us the story of Stephen. Stephen was one of the early followers of Christ, and he's been arrested and he's been brought before the council. They've decided that Stephen should be killed. And so they take Stephen outside the city and they begin to stone him to death. And Acts chapter 7 verse 60 gives us the last words of Stephen before he died. And here were his words. He certainly had the moral high ground. He certainly could have said, this isn't right. I don't deserve this. I'm a victim. This isn't right what they're done. Here's his last words. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, don't judge them guilty for what they're doing to me. Some people don't forgive because we think if I forgive that person, then it minimizes the pain they caused me. It makes the suffering and the pain that I've gone through look trivial. And so I can't forgive them because the pain is so great, and I want people to know how great the pain is that's been caused me. They just don't know how they hurt me. I think of Joseph and his brothers. How Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. How Joseph was imprisoned in Egypt. And all the suffering that Joseph went through. And one day when Joseph is now in a different position, he's no longer the low man on the totem pole. He is now second in command in all of Egypt. And who stands before him but 10 of his 11 brothers? It's been very easy for Joseph to say, I just want to tell you before I have you killed what you did to me. I want to tell you the pain that I've suffered. I want to tell you how I was in prison. I want to tell you how the embarrassment, the shame that I went through because of your actions. No, you know what Joseph said to them? They come to him and they say, Joseph, please forgive us. We're sorry for what we did. You know what Joseph said to them? In essence, he says, think nothing of it. God was behind what you did to me. God worked through you to bring me to Egypt so that I could save our family and save our people. You don't need to ask me for forgiveness. It's nothing. I see the hand of God in it. Sometimes we refuse to forgive people because we think by our unwillingness to forgive that it is somehow hurting them. You know, someone said that bitterness is when you drink poison and think the other person is going to die. We think that if I don't forgive them, then it's hurting them. And I want them to hurt. I want them to have pain. I'm having pain. I want them to have pain. So even if they come to me and say, I'm sorry, even if they write me a note, even if they send me an email that says, please forgive me, I'm not even going to reply to it. I'm not going to forgive them because I want them to hurt too. Paul in Acts chapter 16 is, he and Silas are arrested in the city of Philippi. They are beaten. They're stripped, they are beaten, they are then given to the Philippian jailer. He takes them into solitary confinement. He locks their feet and their arms in the stockades. They are sitting on this cold, damp ground. They have no cushion, they have no mattress. They're sitting on this cold, damp ground and they're bent over with their back that has been beaten and laid open. They are now stretched out with chains around their feet and chains around their arms as if they were, you know, Israel's most wanted criminals. And in the middle of the night, there's an earthquake and the jail is shaken and Paul and Silas are set free. And the jailer comes running in and the jailer realizes that the chains are off of these men and the Romans are going to kill him for letting them be released. And he pulls out his sword and prepares to kill himself. And Paul says to him, don't harm yourself. We're all here. The man comes to Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't say to him, well, first of all, you've got to ask me forgiveness for what you did to me. First of all, you've got to make restitution for what you did. In fact, let me tear off your shirt and let me beat you in the back so you'll know what I'm feeling. No, Paul said, all you need to do is repent. And the Bible talks about how Paul prayed for this man and prayed for his family. Some people refuse to forgive because they say, I can't forgive because I'm still in pain. Once I'm not hurting, then I'll be able to forgive. What did we read? That while Jesus is hanging on the cross, the first words out of his mouth were not, I thirst. We're not that I'm uncomfortable. We're not, Lord, you see what they've done to me. You pay them back. No, the first words out of his mouth, the nails have been driven into his hand. The nails have been driven into his feet. He is hanging there. The crown of thorns has been placed on his head. The blood is flowing down. His back has been laid open. His beard has been plucked out. He's been slapped and spat upon and beat. The first words out of his mouth, Father, forgive them. He didn't wait until he felt better. He didn't wait until he had a little bit of relief. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of his hurt, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Talking about the last words, the Bible tells the story of one of the judges of Israel, a man named Samson. We know two things about Samson. First of all, he was a man of superhuman strength. But secondly, we know that Samson had a problem with women. We know the story of how Samson was deceived by Delilah. His hair was cut. He lost his strength. The Philistines capture him. They gouge out his eyes. They take him into their city. They hook him up to a grist mill. and he walks around in circles day after day after day, grinding grain. This man who once was a leader of men, this man who was once respected by the Israelites and feared by the Philistines, is now reduced to being nothing more than just a two-legged animal walking around grinding meal. But Judges chapter 16, verse 23 begins and says this: "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson our enemy into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain.' While they were in high spirits," in other words, while they're getting drunk, "they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they brought Samson out of the prison." And the Bible says they began to shout insults at him and throw things at him. They were mocking him. "But Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, and listened to his prayer: 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. And now listen to Samson's last words. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson cried, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived." Samson's last prayer was, "Give me revenge. Let me have revenge on these people, even if it costs me my life." Jesus hangs on the cross, and our sins are costing him his life. He is being jeered. He is being mocked. He is being ridiculed. They're saying to him, "If you truly are the Son of God, if you really can do all you said you could do, come down from the cross. Prove it to us." And there he hangs, dying. So easy for him to say, "Give me vengeance on my enemies." But no, as he dies, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Are you wanting revenge? Are you still carrying with you the unpaid bill for the pain that someone caused you? Are you mindful of what you lost and believe that somebody deserves to pay? I would encourage you, leave it at the altar today. When you come to this altar in just a few moments to take the elements of communion, I want you once again to hear ringing in your ears the word of our Savior Jesus Christ when he said, "Father, forgive them." And my prayer is that before you leave this altar, you will leave here your bitterness, your pain, your unforgiveness, and will be able to say with Jesus, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive her. Father, forgive him. Father, forgive them." Let it go. Don't carry it with you like Samson did. Don't let it become the focus point of your entire life, that you carry it with you to your death. But get free of it. Get free of the bitterness. Get free of the anger. Get free of the resentment. Get free of the unforgiveness, and find hope and freedom. and peace. Father, I thank you today for your Son Jesus, who set such an example for us when he hung on the cross, his life blood flowing from him, his strength ebbing from him. And Lord, he did not cry out for vengeance. He did not cry out for revenge. He did not begin to cry out to you to make it right, to make them pay for what they had done to him and what they were doing to him. Lord, he looked down upon the Roman soldiers. He looked down upon the Jewish religious leaders. He looked down upon his mother. He looked down through the portals of time and saw each of us sitting here today, and he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. And Lord, that forgiveness is available to us today. Not only the ability to receive forgiveness, but the ability and the strength to give forgiveness. So I pray today, as we come to this altar and we take that piece of bread and we take that cup that represents his broken body and his shed blood, that we would say today, before we leave this altar, Father, forgive them. They haven't asked for my forgiveness, Father. They don't really care whether I forgive them or not, but you do. So, Father, forgive her for what she did. Forgive him for what he did. Forgive them for what they said. Forgive them for their betrayal. Forgive them for their actions. Forgive them for their hardness toward me. Forgive them, Lord, for the things they said. And Lord, I pray we would walk out of this house free. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers.